This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
A writer named Laura Parker recently introduced us to a woman who's got a pretty odd job. Her name is Melody Doering, and she works at the American Museum of Natural History, that grand old place on the Upper West Side with the magnificent dinosaurs and the blue whale hanging from the ceiling. Now, on the books, Melody is a curatorial assistant. That's her title. What she actually does is run a kind of beauty salon at the museum, and it's exclusively for dead bees.
One Sunday, I was reading the New York Times into the science section, which is so far from my background as to be unbelievable. And I saw this little ad, and it almost glowed with a green light, and it said insect preparator. And I said, there is no such word. And I rejiggered my resume to put all sorts of crafty things on, like knitting and crocheting and handicrafts. And then I was brought in for a pinning test.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the pinning test was about, like what you had to do?
There was a box of dead bugs and a bunch of pins.
And you had to stick pins through their
butts? And I had to stick pins in the bugs, yes. Yes, that's basically what it was.
So the museum actually has about 33 million specimens in its collection, and 500,000 of those are just bees. So if you were to put all the bees together, it'd be about 5 kilometers of bees, which is like, what, just over 3 miles?
Because bees have branched fur, the hairs are branched, if they get wet, they clump and they look like sad puppies or wet kittens. So what we try to do is restore them to the best possible state that they can be in.
The specimens are actually in jars full of alcohol, and that, you know, to preserve them. And that makes them super crispy and kind of gross, like they're all like crumpled up. So she picks them out of the alcohol using tweezers.
All right. The first thing I do is take some deionized water and put it in a jar. And then I take my shampoo, which is a non-ionic surfactant suitable for use as a detergent, wetting agent, emulsifier, and a mild detergent. And it only takes just a bead, and I shake it up, and you can see how much suds we get from that.
So you're popping 3 bees into the little bottle with the shampoo.
Putting the lid on and giving it a gentle agitation.
Okay, so you've used the tweezers to take them out of the shampoo, and you're just going to drain them. Oh, no, you're rinsing them.
Yep, got to rinse.
Doing a rinse. Rinse. A little pipette.
You wouldn't want to walk around with shampoo in your hair.
That's very true. So now they've been cleaned, but they still look a little shriveled. They're kind of opening up a little.
Well, sad puppy.
Still sad puppy.
Yes. So then I use the largest pin we use and pierce it through the thorax, slightly to the right of the midline and slightly behind the wing bud. Okay, now they are ready to go.
So now they're in the blow drying station?
Yes.
And we're ready to blow dry?
Yes.
Now, instead of using a regular blow dryer, like the kind you get from a drugstore, she uses a very specific piece of scientific equipment called an air mattress inflator. So what happened was that she used to use a blow dryer, but she found that the force of the air was actually blowing the extremities off the bees and they were kind of losing legs left, right and center. So she needed something that was a little bit more gentle, and she was experimenting one day and she discovered that using an air mattress inflator was the best thing. Can you tell us a little bit about why the bees are mostly female?
Well, my smart answer is that they don't need pianos to be moved.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
There was the old joke about the only reason to have a man around is when you need the piano moved.
Oh, I get you.
When males are needed for reproduction at certain times of the year, they are produced. Otherwise
we don't need them around.
So until we need them to...
That makes perfect sense. I'm on board.
Move the piano.
To move the piano. And we're doing little quotation marks around move the piano. All right. So after they've finished drying off, Melody, you take them in and look at them under this elaborate microscope.
And I take each bee with a little sable brush and I fluff up her hair.
She's kind of regained some of her color.
Yes. When their yellow hair gets wet, it just looks like black.
Of this entire bee washing process and drying, how many bees would you be able to do kind of in one session? Because it takes, what, 10, 15 minutes to do one?
Yes. I wouldn't do more than 20 or 30 at one time.
And where is this box going to go now that you've finished?
Well, once we've gotten the information from the registrar, I will make up labels and then I will take them over to the office of the bee curator, and then we will have 8,500,003.
Melody Doering, curatorial assistant and keeper of the Bee Salon at the American Museum of Natural History. She spoke with the writer, Laura Parker.